Yeah, we're faring up pretty well. We're just going through a bit of a cold spell, but you know, it's what we expect at this time of year. So it's kind of unusual if we don't lose one meeting during the winter. So hopefully we'll get through this cold spell and put it behind us.
Well, the cold weather, the COVID protocols, it's a challenging time to be managing any business, especially a race course.
Yes, it is. I think we're luckier than most, though, Andrew. You know, we're able to keep going. A lot of businesses everywhere are completely closed down. So, you know, whilst we can keep racing, albeit without spectators, you know, we can make enough money to pay the overheads to keep our heads above water. And, you know, if we end up getting to the other side of this pandemic, you know, with our heads above water so that we can kick on again, you know, we'll think ourselves very lucky. So yeah, we're okay, actually. It's we're just hanging in there.
Well, it's great to hear that positive answer. I'm gathering you realise in this part of the world, COVID is nowhere near the issue it is over there. Not that we're underplaying the seriousness, but our racing industry is pressed on and race throughout lockdowns and so on. It's a different story over there in terms of case numbers. But as you say, racing has got through mainly. The current lockdown, given you're a Scottish-based race course and all the restrictions across the UK, how does that affect you as a race course in Scotland?
Yeah, I mean, we're pretty much all in the same boat at the moment in that, you know, we do have different rules and regulations in Scotland, but at the moment we're pretty much all in lockdown, which means that we can continue just with only essential workers on the race course. The big thing that's damaging us at the moment is the closure of the betting shops in the UK. So they're effectively our retail window to the general public, and they're all closed at the moment. So that's having a big impact on our finances. It does mean that for a race course like Musselburgh, let's say a typical race course, if you stage 20 fixtures a year, you've probably got an annual overhead of at least £1 million. So you need to be making about £50,000 profit from a fixture just to break even. And the problem is with the closure of betting shops, the actual race day is only breaking even. So you're not making any money to contribute towards the cost of the overheads. Now, clearly that's not sustainable for a long period of time. And that's the situation we find ourselves in just now. But we hope that the lockdown, you know, won't be for too long, and we'll get through this difficult patch. We'll get back to how it was before when we do make a bit of money through betting shops, through online betting, etc. And then, as I said earlier, we can keep our heads above water. And basically, the way I see it is, you know, this year, this 12 months, hopefully, it is only 12 months of the pandemic, is just the year that never happened. It's the year that we're just in limbo. And then once we get back, get to the spring, summer, get the crowds back, we'll kick on again.
We're chatting to Bill Farnsworth, the manager of the Musselburgh Racecourse Scotland, UK, and part of our late night coverage, checking in with another race club to learn a bit more about the course and the club itself. So we've now had a week or so with no crowds on UK tracks, and that might be the case for some time going forward. When was the last time you had people on your track at Musselburgh?
Yeah, well, we haven't had crowds on any racetracks. No, that's not correct. Actually, there have been some pilots with small numbers of crowds, but they didn't sadly go very far. But generally speaking, nearly all race meetings in Britain since March have been, certainly since the beginning of April, have been without crowds. I think the lockdown happened on the 23rd of March last year, if I remember correctly. So the last time we raced was back in February 2020. So nearly coming on for, you know, sort of 10, 11 months now since we've had crowds on the race course.
Wow. Tell me, I do a segment, and in fact, I've spoken to the golf course inside your track. I do a segment here called there's a golf course next to that racetrack, because I was amazed, being a keen golfer, just how many golf courses there are. Beautiful courses. And in fact, the The links there within your race course is one of the oldest and most prestigious historic courses going around. That's a positive. One unlucky aspect, I believe, with your racetrack is you could have held a meeting in a few days' time, but the golf course has sway over extra meetings. Explain that to us, because it's also unlucky, because if it was a golf course in England, they wouldn't be able to play golf at the moment, but Scottish golfers can actually go to that golf course and thus no race meeting for you.
Yeah, it's a kind of difficult situation. At Musselburgh, like on a number of race courses in the UK, there is a golf course on the land in the middle of the race course. And at Musselburgh, as you say, the golf course is very, very historic. It's the oldest playing golf course in the world. It's where the size of the hole was established. So that hole that golfers try and put balls into, I'm not a golfer, all around the world was established just behind the winning post at Musselburgh. So, you know, a huge amount of history with the race course and the golf course. And it was actually Mary, Queen of Scots, used to play golf down there. And, I could go on and on about the history. But the situation at Musselburgh is that it's all on what we call common good land. And the race course operator rents the race course from the local authority. But the golf course is actually run by a department of the local council. And just the arrangements are that the golf course, as you correctly said, has sway over any events that take place out with the scheduled race days. And unfortunately, on this occasion, we couldn't reach an agreement with the golf course to close next Wednesday, which would allow us to stage an extra race meeting.
Well, that was a talking point, yeah. That's a talking point. What about the weather, though? I was more intrigued by the fact that you couldn't race because of snow, but in a few days' time, you couldn't race because a golf course at your track wants to play golf. Must be a hardy lot that think a golf course is going to be okay to play a few days after snowfall.
Well, believe me, they're very, very hardy. That certainly isn't an issue for the golfers of Musselburgh. I saw a bloke yesterday. It was, you know, temperatures were plummeting yesterday. It was bitterly cold. And there was a bloke walked past me in shorts yesterday. They are incredibly hardy people. They must love their golf because honestly, in the middle of winter, you see them in shirt sleeves playing golf there. I mean, Musselburgh is a fishing town historically, so their ancestors were trawler men and women, and the cold weather doesn't seem to bother them too much.
What about just the whole COVID situation? Again, in Australia, we have a handful of cases, and we're grateful for what our government has done with the work of the medical people and so on, and I guess we clamped down early. That's a talking point in itself, the handling by the governments over there. But what's it like day-to-day living and going to a race course to work and people travelling to racing and trying to go about your normal business in an area where there are thousands and thousands of cases, and I guess there's gloom around to a point. We know the vaccine has arrived, but we don't envy you over there at the moment.
It's interesting, isn't it? I mean, people are incredibly resilient, aren't they? And the vaccine gives us light at the end of the tunnel. Everyone's, it's difficult, but everyone just buckles down and gets on with it. You know, the racing community have been fantastic. It is like a big family. The jockeys, the trainers, the stable staff, the owners, and everyone knows that there's not the fun in it that there normally is when you've got big crowds there. But we're keeping the industry going. We're keeping the horses racing. And, what motivates us is the fact that live sport has become so much more important because there's little else to do. So live sport on the TV is so important to people. And I think actually that racing, one of the benefits of the pandemic, and there will be some, is that I think a lot of people will have tuned into racing for the first time. And the racing presenters, such as yourself, have, I think, done a fantastic job to showcase racing. And I think we will have won some new fans during this period. So when we go to work and we're putting race days on and there isn't the buzz on the course, you know, what I think is, just think of all those people who are stuck in their houses, tuned into racing and listening, you know, and understanding the sport of horse racing, which is, you know, it's very seductive, is horse racing. It's very basic at one level, but the more you get into it, the more you understand the complexities of the sport and the more it draws you into it. So you know, people have had more time to understand horse racing. And I think that long term we could come out of this whole thing stronger.
Your positivity does shine through and your resilience as well. As I said, we have our concerns in this country, but chatting to you there in the cold and the snow and the dramas of COVID and lockdown certainly reinforced to us that if we can look for positives, we'll find them. And well done. All the best. Your next meeting then, hopefully, snow permitting, is Tuesday, 22nd of January, is it?
Friday, 22nd of
right.
January. Yeah, a pretty low-key meeting. It's one of those days where, you know, it's just one of those days where, you know, a lot of the lower grade horses are running, but those days are so important because, you know, they're the base of the pyramid. And then the meeting after that is our Cheltenham Trials fixture, which is a fantastic race meeting at Butterworth. It's sort of the highlight of our winter season. And obviously, you know, we see horses that are being prepared for the famous Cheltenham Festival in March. So we kind of cater for all needs, and, you know, we've got plenty to look forward to. Yeah, I think Cheltenham will be just as good this year on the TV, and I can't wait for it.
Bill, thank you for taking the call. All the best going forward.
Okay, thank you, Andrew.